With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
The sixth consecutive year of increasing values across the board.
Lance Honig is chief of the National Ag Statistics Service at USDA.
But maybe a bit of a slowing in terms of that increase. We saw a little bit of a slowdown in those increases last year, a little bit. We're talking about three major categories, all land and buildings, cropland and pasture. And again, increases across the board on all three categories, a little bit slower than what we've seen in some of the recent years.
And USDA says the average farm real estate now $4,500 per acre, up 3.4% from the previous year. Cropland, $6,020 per acre. That's a 3.3% increase. Pasture up 4.2% to $2,000. And the gains extend a long rise that's lifted farm real estate values nearly 79% since 2012. EPA granting one full and two partial small refinery exemptions while establishing a broader approach for future renewable fuel standard petitions. Agency acted on six requests covering the 2023-2024 compliance years for four refineries. Now, three petitions ruled ineligible. While none were denied outright, EPA says it may grant 50% relief when a refinery demonstrates partial disproportionate economic hardship. Agency will generally rely on the Department of Energy hardship matrix unless other economic evidence supports a different result. That framework could shape future exemption decisions nationwide. When an exempted refinery has already retired renewable fuel credits, EPA plans to return those credits rather than create replacements. The agency says that method should reduce disruption to credit markets and protect future renewable fuel investment. Denim's lasting popularity no longer guarantees stronger cotton demand because many consumers already own several durable pairs and replace them less often. Guernsey America's managing partner Bob Antoshek says the industry now needs to build a profitable business around a product designed to last. Mature markets face slower replacement cycles, expanding resale activity, and shoppers trained to wait for discounts. Retail markdowns pressure every link in the supply chain. Brands seek vendor support. Factories squeeze mills. Mills become more cautious about fabric, yarn, and cotton commitments when margins repeatedly disappear. Well, beef on dairy calves providing critical income for individual dairies, but the strategy may carry growing risk for future calf and milk returns. Dairy analyst Andrew Hunt says producers should evaluate the shrinking percentage premium, not only today's larger dollar checks. Pennsylvania auction data shows a top beef dairy cross bull calf brought a 91% premium over a straight dairy bull in 2020. Now, by 2025, the dollar advantage had climbed from $96 to $341, but the relative premium narrowed to 38%. Tight beef supplies lifted values across nearly every calf category. Straight dairy bulls gained faster from a lower base, reduces the structural advantage of beef cross genetics even as cell barn checks became more attractive. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is Agriculture Today.
This week, I'm going to tell a story about a couple butcher calves.
Dr. Mark Johnson, Oklahoma State Beef Breeding Specialist.
Dr. Paul Beck and I had this conversation this week. We found it interesting, so it led to this week's topic. My family raises butcher calves for our own use, sell them to some family and friends. This week, we took in two calves. Hot carcass weight on those calves was 935 pounds on a black-hided Angus-sired calf. And another calf had a hot carcass weight of 951. So I went back and looked at records as far as what the cows weighed that produced the calves and some of how we'd managed them. So the calves themselves were born in the last week of March, a year ago in the 2025 spring calving season. So at the point of harvest, they were just under 16 months of age. Those calves weighed close to 1,500 pounds. Hot carcass weight on those calves was 935 pounds on a black-hided Angus-sired calf. And another calf had a hot carcass weight of 951. Those calves were sired by a registered Angus bull whose genetic values for weaning weight were in the top 20% of current Angus sires. EPD for yearling weight was in the best 15%. EPD for residual average daily gain was in the best 3% of the breed. The interesting part becomes the cows that they were out of. Both those steers were produced by cows that are about 8 years of age. Those cows were purchased 4 years ago as bred cows. Those cows have bred back promptly, calved early in the calving season each year since that time. But the mature weight of the black cow that produced the black-hided calf is 1,180 pounds. The mature weight of the black-nosed smoke cow that produced the 951-pound hot carcass weight calf is 1,280 pounds. Neither of those cows would be considered that big. They're not that big. We don't know anything about the genetic background of the cows. Again, they were purchased in a group of bred cows in March of 2022. So what's the point? In the past couple years, Dr. Beck, Dr. Peel, myself, we've written quite a bit, and there's been many articles on mature cow size, this trend that we've been in as we are feeding cattle longer, taking them to heavier weights than we ever have before. We've had the Rancher's Lunchtime series. It's called The Tug of War in the Beef Cattle Industry. A lot of writing space has been devoted to this, and I encourage you to look back at previous Cow-Calf Corner and look at those articles that are cited at the end of my written article that comes out in our newsletter on July 27th. But didn't take very big cows to produce calves that had a great deal of growth, ended up by 16 months of age weighing about 1,500 pounds, yielding carcasses that are right in line with what we're currently seeing. Our average, last time I checked a week ago, steer carcasses right now are averaging about 963. We continue to see that average hot carcass weight in our weekly harvest mix in this country go up a little bit each week and probably will continue to do so. So an interesting topic, speaks to intentional mating, mature cow size, and what we can produce as far as the superior growth genetics.
From high-performing calves to cattle on feed. Dr. Darryl Peel, Oklahoma State Livestock Economist.
The monthly cattle on feed report, June placements were down 2.9%. June marketings were down 2.7%. And so the on-feed inventory came in at 2.2% above July 1 last year. So the on-feed inventory has been up the last 3 months. But that can be a little misleading. It's not up because we have more cattle. It's up because feedlot marketings have slowed down more than placements have slowed down. So we've continued to put cattle in the feedlot. We're not marketing them as fast, and so that's letting the on-feed inventory accumulate.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Chinese soybean demand, in particular, what they've done over the past week or so plus here as we've seen a sharp drop in soybean prices, tied primarily to improved weather conditions here in the United States.
Brian Grady is with Comstock.
China took full advantage of the sharp break in prices that was weather driven, as I mentioned, and booked a lot more soybeans for new crop delivery. As you can see on the November soybean futures chart, on July 24th, we had a high of 1256 and a half intraday there. In the overnight session here on August 3rd, we had a low of 1175 and a quarter. And so that 81 plus cent drop during that time frame gave China a golden buying opportunity. And we've seen that carry out with daily sales announcements. Since July 24th, USDA has made daily sales announcements on four different days, July 27th, July 30th, July 31st, and now August 3rd. And you can see the levels there. Some of them were to China and unknown. Some were to China only. Some were to unknown only. And the grand total in that whole time frame from July 27th through August 3rd is more than 1.26, almost 1.27 million metric tons. And there will be more daily sales announcements coming based on what the cash sources report. China was actively shopping for U.S. soybeans and making purchases last Friday through the weekend. And so there's probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of a million tons plus announced via daily sales in all likelihood. Now, anything that was done to an entity in a day that didn't equal out to 100,000 metric tons or more isn't required to be reported via the daily sales system. Also, those purchases need to be recorded within 24 hours of them happening. But with some of the activity coming over the weekend, they won't be reported to USDA until Monday morning, and therefore they won't show up in the daily sales announcements until Tuesday or Wednesday. Anyway, the bottom line is China used this aggressive break in prices to actively book U.S. soybeans. Probably not much of a surprise. If you go back to last October's trade agreement, Beijing agreed to buy 25 million tons of U.S. soybeans for 2026 and the following 3 years. So we are into that 2026-27 buying window right now, and China is moving toward its commitment of 25 million tons. This is the latest updated export commitment activity for 2026-27. It's as of July 23rd. On Thursday, we will get updated numbers for these, and they will be as of July 30th. Anyway, here's where we stand with commitments for both China and unknown destinations. And I put unknown destinations on there because in all likelihood, most, if not all, of the sales to unknown destinations are being purchased by China's state-owned firms at this point in time. So the Chinese tally is nearly 2.8 million tons year to date through the 23rd of July. And then there will be those additions on those daily sales announcements that I showed previously, in addition to anything else that they purchased on a daily basis that wasn't over 100,000 metric tons and not required to be reported via the daily sales announcements. And as a note on that, we have been seeing the weekly numbers when they come out on Thursdays running above what the daily sales announcements have been noting. And so there have been some purchases that have been under 100,000 metric tons on a daily basis that aren't required to be reported daily by USDA. Anyway, that's the highest tally we've seen to China for new crop soybean purchases to date as of July 23rd since 2022-23.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operation safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Estate planning is a huge component of this, but I will promise you, an estate plan does not make a succession plan.
Anastasia Meyer is with the University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
Having an estate plan in place basically tells the government what you want done at your death. It basically allows assets to be passed from one person to another person through a legal process. It does not teach someone how to manage a farm or a ranch business. And this is where farm and ranch families get stuck, is they went to an attorney, the attorney created the estate plan, but they did not work with them to do what Anastasia discussed and really put together that business and that succession plan to make sure that the business is profitable, that we have someone who can manage it, and that we have a retirement plan for that older generation. So you might have an estate plan in place, and you might be thinking, oh, well, we're good. No, you're not. We have to have all four components of the planning process in place in order to make sure that this farm or this ranch or business can survive the death of the oldest generation. And it includes four basic documents. Every adult within a farm or a ranch business in the state of Nebraska, an adult is 19 years and up, okay? So four basic documents. You need a will. A will, basically what a will does is says, I want these things to go to these people. It also assigns a guardian for your minor children, and it assigns what we call in Nebraska a personal representative. And that person has the joy and pleasure of making sure that these assets go to these people. Assets that pass through the will are subject to a process called probate. Well, what is probate? Probate is that physical process of retitling those assets to these people. Probate gets a bad rap for a couple of reasons. Number one, probate is public. Number two, probate can be costly because some attorneys will charge a percentage of the estate that is probated. So if you're going through the probate process, I actually encourage you to find an attorney who charges by the hour, not as a percentage of the assets. And number three, probate can take quite a bit of time. So if we're running a farm or a ranch business and we have said that these assets will go to these people and it takes 2 years for that to happen, that is difficult for a farm or a ranch business to keep operating during that time. It just creates a lot more complexity. Now, in Nebraska, whether you like it or not, whether your assets are probated or not, your estate will still be public because in Nebraska, we have Nebraska inheritance tax. So avoiding probate because of the public manner of it honestly isn't really an argument, because if somebody wants to be nosy and they want to find out what you passed at your death, they will be able to look that up because of the inheritance tax, regardless of whether your assets were probated through a will. If you die without a will, you will be subject to Nebraska intestate laws, which basically is the default rules of the state of Nebraska of how your assets will be passed. Most people say, well, it'll just go to my spouse. Not in the state of Nebraska. No one likes the government's plan for anything. So if you write a will, that will supersede the state laws. So again, we recommend that you have a will just to supersede the state laws.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
This is Agriculture Today.
I think that there are several things that we need to watch on the China trade front as we move forward.
Brian Grady is with Comstock.
Both sides are trying to work out an agreement on the proposed Board of Trade deal that would be a somewhat of a mechanism for monitoring and engaging the Chinese purchases that are being made and what they've lining those up against its commitments. And so we will see if that Board of Trade gets done or not, but it looks like it's trending in that direction. Also, a rollback of tariffs. So China has 10% tariffs on U.S. agricultural goods, including soybeans and other ag products. U.S. now has a 12.5% tariff on Chinese goods. And so if we see a coordinated rollback of those, and that's the direction we're aiming in at the moment, is that they will have a coordinated rollback, then that's important because it becomes more economically viable for U.S. soybeans to be purchased by commercial firms instead of just state-owned firms, which we've seen all the purchases made by so far. The other thing to keep in mind is that there may be some goodwill purchases of other agricultural goods because in mid-May at the trade summit between President Trump and Xi Jinping, they agreed that China would buy an additional $17 billion of agricultural goods annually. And so for 2026, that's prorated. So we shall see, but in all likelihood, China's going to need to step up purchases of corn and wheat and maybe some other feed grains. And so we'll see if that develops on a goodwill purchase ahead of the planned meeting between President Trump and Xi Jinping in late September. It wouldn't surprise me if we do see some goodwill purchases of corn, wheat, and other things. Now, I've mentioned the soybeans, but China's also been an active buyer of U.S. sorghum. And so those sorghum purchases would also count toward that $17 billion of additional beyond soybeans. And so keep that in mind. And sorghum will probably be the biggest buyer. But I think even if we get some token goodwill purchases of corn and wheat, it would show that China has aspirations of living up to the commitments that it has made either last October in the trade agreement or in mid-May in this trade agreement. And so that is something to watch. And then finally, that Trump-Xi meeting that I talked about scheduled for September 24th. One, does it happen? And two, are there deliverables that come out of it? So we saw last October, there were definite deliverables coming out of it. The U.S. was the one that provided the details. China was very vague, but it did carry through with its 12 million tons of soybean purchase commitments there. Mid-May, there were deliverables. The U.S. was pretty upfront in terms of saying that China agreed to buy an additional $17 billion of ag goods beyond soybeans. China has never confirmed that, but in all likelihood, they're starting that process of carrying through with that commitment. And we just have to get to the finish line on that in terms of finalizing the deal, getting the Board of Trade in place to verify those purchases, and then the rollback of the tariffs. And so in any order, that can happen. In all likelihood, the first three that I mentioned will happen sometime before the Trump-Xi meeting, which is planned in Washington for September 24th, like I mentioned. The bottom line to all this is that it looks like China is living up to its commitments that it has made to buy U.S. agricultural purchases, U.S. agricultural goods. It is a selected buyer to some degree in that when the market gives it an opportunity to make purchases, it gets aggressive at that point in time. And then we're still waiting on the commercial side of things to come around. We need those prices to be economically viable for the commercial firms to participate more than just the state-owned firms, which have done all the purchases to this point in time.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
The main reason behind that move of the increase in planted area is the recovery in international cotton prices in the last few months.
Rafael Bulaskoski is a market intelligence analyst with StoneX in Brazil.
The December 2027 contract for cotton negotiated in NYSE in New York has gained roughly 13% in the first half of 2026. And that recovery in prices makes the cotton crop far more attractive against other ag commodities that are planted here in Brazil. Despite the positive outlook for acreage here in Brazil, we still have plenty of concerns. And I would say that the main concern is about the yields, particularly in the El Nino year. Dry spells could hurt yield potential and even have a marginal influence on planting decisions. So even with a larger area, our base case scenario points to a yield of 1.85 metric tons per hectare. And that represents, that helps to reach a 1.5% drop in production compared to the crop that is being harvested right now in mid-2026. So our estimates for the total cotton production in Brazil for 2027 is 3.83 million metric tons. El Nino tends to raise the risk of dryness across Brazil's center-west region. That is the main cotton-growing region. And beyond affecting crop development itself, it could also disrupt problems with the planting window of the cotton crop. Since most of Brazil's cotton is planted right after the harvest of the soybean crop, a delay in the soybean cycle carries over into the cotton cycle as well. And in El Nino years, this kind of delay in soybean cycle tends to be more common in some regions here in Brazil. If we talk about demand for Brazilian cotton, even with the slight decline in production, Brazil should remain the leader in the leading player in global exports. Our estimates points to shipments of around 3.05 million metric tons in 2027. That is down 7.6% from the 3.3 million metric tons that we currently project for the year of 2026. Even so, if confirmed, that would still be the second largest volume for exports on record, which speaks to the resilience of Brazil's export sector in the cotton business. Still, if the supply decline materializes, it will mark the second consecutive year of falling production in Brazil. In 2026, the global market is already going through a supply side adjustment, which has helped to support prices in the international cotton market on the last few months. For 2027, despite more attractive price environment, risks are being built. El Nino is likely to weigh on southern hemisphere production, that being Australia as well, beyond Brazil, while in the demand side, higher inflation around the world and a more expensive polyester in some regions could shift important dynamics in the textile market.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.